Kupuna Wiki was previously recorded.
Welcome to Kupuna Wiki, Hawaii's senior resource, the radio show that helps you find answers on important topics like finances, senior housing, estate planning, real estate, health, and much more. Now let's join Kupuna Wiki hosts Brandon Lau and Andrew Leon.
Aloha and welcome to the Kupuna Wiki radio show. This month we are talking about estate planning, and in studio we have Heather Conahan of the Conahan Law Group. Kupuna Wiki is Hawaii's senior resource. We talk to the best local professionals in the state regarding topics such as real estate, senior housing, estate planning, finance, and health, so that our Kupuna families can find the best resources in the midst of a life transition. We strive to make sure our seniors are informed and supported every step of the way. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Brandon Lau.
And I'm Andrew Leon,
your host for the Kupuna Wiki radio show.
If you miss any of our shows on air, the Kupuna Wiki radio show is available as a podcast and can be found on Spotify, Apple, and Podbean for your listening pleasure. Our title sponsor for today is Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors, providing you with the best real estate information so you can make the most informed decisions. As they like to say, real estate is about choice. To contact them, call 808-753-9033.
And now we have a real estate tip of the week brought to you by Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors.
We often get asked if a financial gift from a friend or relative can be used as a down payment on buying a home. The answer is yes. In fact, one out of four first-time home buyers uses a gift to make the down payment. Tax laws allows gifts of up to $15,000 a year in 2020 without tax consequences or to the giver or recipient. The amount is adjusted annually, so search the IRS.gov for gift tax for the current figures. You could get a gift from two parents or two friends for $30,000 without paying a gift tax.
For more information on options and how you can make a home purchase, contact Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors at 753-9033. Well, again, today we have the pleasure of speaking with attorney Heather Conahan of the Conahan Law Group. Welcome, Heather.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good, good. Thanks for joining us. Well, for our listeners who are just hearing you for the first time, maybe you can share a little bit about where you're born and raised and how you got practicing estate law.
Sure. I was born and raised in Hawaii. I've been in Hawaii for my entire life except for college and law school. I've been practicing in the area of solely estate planning since 1999, so over 20 years.
Okay.
And I do everything from very simple powers of attorney, wills, regular revocable trusts, to more complex things like family limited partnerships, life insurance trusts, or what we're talking about today, charitable remainder trusts.
That's great. So this sounded like it was a passion that you had from early on, and it continues to be to this day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, charitable remainder trusts in particular is not widely known by a lot of people. In fact, I think some of us heard about it. We know about it as CRTs, but beyond that, we don't really know the details. So it's a real treat to have you in studio, being able to share some of the information about that. So maybe just to get started, can you share with us what's the basic definition of a charitable remainder trust?
The basic way that I explain it is that it's a way to maximize an income stream by selling a highly appreciated asset without having to pay any capital gains tax and also getting a charitable income tax deduction from that transaction.
So basically it's a great way to, I guess, maneuver your assets to maximize your taxable benefit.
Absolutely, and your income, because, you know, as we get older, that's what we're looking for, is better income stream.
Okay, so what are the components of this charitable remainder trust, also known as a CRT, and how would that work?
It basically is, first you have to figure out if it's the right thing for you. So you do that by looking at your assets, and if you have a desire to sell an asset or if you have a desire to increase the income stream from an asset, you would talk with an attorney and an accountant to make sure it's right for you. Mm-hmm. And the best indicator of whether it's right for you is, like I said, it's a highly appreciated asset, meaning you bought it for very low, mm-hmm. and it's worth much more today. But it's also, if it is generating an income stream for you, it's not generating as high of an income stream that you would like.
Right.
So those are sort of the things that we listen for when we decide whether or not it's going to be the right thing for you.
So let's say somebody comes to you and says, Heather, you know, we're trying to plan our estate. We have a property in Kaimuki. It's worth approximately $1 million. We're renting it out right now. And, you know, older single wall tiling groove house. We don't really want to make all the improvements. And we're getting about, you know, $2,800 a month in rent. But it just doesn't seem like it's maximizing the revenue that we'd want to receive from it. Plus, you know, we don't really have any heirs to give it to. I mean, what should we do? So in that scenario, is that like the perfect setup for a CRT?
Thank you. Yes, that's okay. Perfect. I mean, basically, it's got all the things that we're looking for, because if you have a property, even if it is generating an income stream, not all of that income stream is going into your pocket. One, you're paying, of course, income taxes on that, GE taxes. You're also paying for the real property tax, the insurance, the maintenance, the upkeep. You've got to replace the roof. You've got to do painting. You have to do upgrade electricity, plumbing, all those things, and not to even mention the wear and tear from a tenant. So when you come right down to it, that $2,800 a month income stream, it's not enough to really, especially if that's your only asset, that's not enough to live off of.
Right.
But in Hawaii, a lot of people are hesitant to sell the real estate because if they do, they're going to have to pay a huge capital gains tax.
Right.
So that $1 million asset that you own, maybe you bought it for $100,000. You know, that's already right there, you know, off the top, a $250,000 capital gains tax if you sell.
And so the question is, well, a lot of them choose not to sell, and they just keep going in the same cycle year after year. But there could be a better way, right? And so the question is, well, how could I best utilize the equity in this $1 million Kamiki property, maybe get more than $2,800 a year? And so a CRT could be the answer.
Yes, right? Definitely.
So take us through the steps of how a CRT would work.
Sure. The first thing is that you would need to draft the CRT document, you'd do that with the assistance of an estate planning attorney. And then the next step would be to transfer the asset into the trust. So for our example of a piece of property, you would do a deed. You'd have the attorney draft a deed to transfer it from your individual name into the name of your CRT.
Okay.
Once that is done, then the CRT, as the owner of that property, would sell the property. And you just sell it the way you normally sell it. The CRT would hire your broker, would put it on the market. The broker gets their commission. And then whatever is left over gets paid into the CRT.
Okay.
But the benefit is that that transaction normally would be subject to capital gains tax, but with the CRT as the owner, no capital gains tax is paid. So if you net $1 million off of that sale, you get the full $1 million. You don't have to pay any to capital gains tax.
Right. And so once that $1 million property is sold, let's just say $1 million, then all those proceeds go into the Chatter Remainder Trust.
Correct.
Now, that trust has a specific purpose, right? Because in the documents used to draw it up, it's designating a certain charity as a beneficiary of that trust.
Correct. Right?
So is there a certain amount that has to be designated as going to the trust? How does that work?
So the
to the charity, sorry.
Right. So the full amount goes into the proceeds, the $1 million goes into the trust. During the person who owned that property, during their lifetime, they usually were reserved for themselves and their spouse, if they have a spouse, an income stream. So that income stream is dependent on their age and some other circumstances, but they can either pick a percentage payout, which means that they would get, for example, 5% as the trust assets are valued every January 1, they'd get 5% of whatever that value is, or they could even say a specific dollar amount. They want to receive $10,000 a month. You know, that's whatever they want to choose. The only requirement is that at the end of the day, usually either at the person's death or their death of their spouse, whoever dies last, the charity has to receive 10% of the value of the asset. So if it's $1 million asset, they have to receive $100,000. And the person who donated the property can decide which charity will receive, or a group of charities will receive that $100,000.
So just to recap, that designated amount to the purpose of a charity or a group of charities is set at the very beginning when the trust is established.
Correct.
And the minimum contribution to a charity is 10%.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so let's say a person established the CRT when they were 65. and, you know, the assets were earning money, but maybe it was also being spent down through the years based on that required payout every year. And let's say, you know, they live until 100, but, you know, they come to a point before that that, you know, there's less than 10% available. So what happens at that point?
Yeah, so they can continue to draw at whatever amount that they've specified in the document, that percentage or that dollar amount. But once it reaches that bottom, that floor of the 10% in value of the trust asset, so in this case, the $100,000,
right,
once it hits that, then any distributions would have to stop until the assets were appreciated in value some more, and then you could continue to take it out. But that minimum $100,000 must go to a charity.
To the charity.
Yeah.
So if I can just kind of encapsulate this before we go on a commercial break here. So basically the CRT allows the person who sets up the charitable main trust to benefit, number one, from a tax deduction up front, right? Secondly, based on the rules of the CRT, they're going to be receiving a certain percentage or set dollar amount every single month.
Correct.
Which in most cases could be higher than the $2,800 a month that they're earning in rent.
Right.
Right. And then lastly, you know, the charity who is designated or group of charities, they benefit because at the end of that person's life, that remaining balance or at least 10% goes to that charity or
Correct.
Charities.
Exactly.
So it sounds like a win-win all the way around.
It is. There's really no downside. The only downside, which we can talk about later, is that that asset is no longer part of their estate.
Right.
So if they have children, those children will no longer receive that asset.
That asset. Okay. Well, when we come back from commercial break, we'll talk a little bit more about those details and maybe other different scenarios where this might be a good thing. So we'll hear more from Heather Conahan right after this commercial break.
We'll be back with more Kupuna Wiki right after this.
Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors assists clients in buying and selling their homes by striving to create an easy and seamless transition. With multiple awards spanning most transactions of the year, Client Service Award, and being in the top 100 realtors, Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors wants to provide you with excellent service and care when making a major life decision. Over the years, their agents have greatly enjoyed serving each and every one of their clients as if they were family. Whether you're a first-time homeowner or a senior, they understand the challenges and complexities of the real estate process and want to help you every step of the way. Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors wants to provide you with the most information so you can make the best decision. Because as they like to say, real estate is about choice. Contact Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors today for a free in-person property valuation by calling 753-9033 or email them clientservice@choicehi.com.
Welcome back to Kupuna Wiki on AM 690, The Answer.
Welcome back. If you just join us, we're talking with Heather Conahan with the Conahan Law Group, and you know, we're talking about the charitable remainder trust today, and you know, great introduction and setup for some questions that I have. You know, in regards to, you know, two questions that come to mind right now. Let's talk about, along the example of what Brandon was saying, 65-year-old puts it in a CRT, maybe doesn't live to 100. Let's just say, you know, something happens, health deteriorates a lot quicker, lives till 75. Maybe he didn't spend the entire amount. What happens to the remaining amounts that's left in the CRT?
That's a good question, because that is one of the risks that you take, is that you might not fully withdraw everything that you intended to withdraw. And when we run all these numbers, it looks great, but it assumes you're going to live a certain amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't live that amount of time, one, the charity potentially ultimately makes out. So what I do have some clients do is that they decide, for example, they need to be alive for 10 years in order for them to have taken out as much as they wanted to out of that CRT.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll actually get a 10-year term life insurance policy that'll pay out in case that does happen, in case they don't survive. And a 10-year, you know, we could talk for hours about life insurance, but a 10-year term policy will be much cheaper than a 20-year term, or, you know, for a lifetime term policy. Mm-hmm. So the premiums that you would pay on that limited purpose of the life insurance would be relatively small.
I see. I see. And then obviously that could maybe go to their kids or whoever.
Correct. Spouse or kids.
I see. Okay. And I want to ask, you know, the distributions that they're getting on a monthly or perhaps a year basis, are those tax-free? How is that, I guess, how is that calculated?
Yeah, no, that's also a good question. I would say, just to make it simple, assume that 100% of it is going to be subject to regular income tax.
Okay.
There is a small portion that will be considered a return of investment, but that's that initial, if we use the example of the $100,000 home that has appreciated to $1 million, $100,000 of the total amount would be considered a return on principal. So, but they spread that over your expected lifetime. So it's another calculation that has to be done. But I wouldn't depend on that. I would just kind of go in with the assumption that it's 100% taxable.
I see. And is there a minimum amount that needs to be, I guess, put into the CRT?
There's no legal minimum. You could do it with $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 worth of assets. But once you fund a charitable remainder trust, meaning you put an asset into it, mm-hmm. It has to file an income tax return. And an income tax return for this type of entity is, it's called a 990-PF. It's a lot more expensive to have an accountant prepare that return than a normal income tax, a personal income tax return. I would say minimum of $2,000 to $3,000 per year.
Oh.
So to make that payment every year, I think you'd have to kind of balance, you know, if you think it's worth it.
Mm. So you obviously, large assets or probably, you know, large stock portfolios or something would makes the most sense.
Correct.
I see. And when you, I guess when someone puts it in a CRT, you mentioned that they can be the trustee of that as well. But on the other hand, they can assign it to someone else, perhaps their children.
Yep.
Or something?
Children, advisors, attorneys, accountants, also charities will often be the trustee if they're named as the charity at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
To get that final payout. And trust companies and things like that, of course, are always a choice.
Mm-hmm. Heather, I know you mentioned that one of the things to be aware of going into this is that once you set up the charitable remainder trust, it's irrevocable.
Correct.
Meaning you can't undo it, right? And so, you know, can you share with us what are some things one should think about in that regard?
Well, again, because it's irrevocable, you can't change it. You can't change the beneficiaries. You can build in some flexibility, but not much in terms of changing the charitable beneficiaries. So you're kind of locked in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the most important thing, is getting comfortable with that thought. But the only way you can get comfortable with it is by talking it over with your advisor and your accountant until you're sure that it's the right thing for you to do.
And you mentioned in the first part of our show that, you know, it's a good idea to maybe discuss it with your kids so that they're aware of what's happening. Have you been in those uncomfortable situations where maybe they found out after the fact?
After the fact. Yes, we did, actually.
Yeah.
There was one time where it was a significant piece of property, and the clients wanted to get a better income stream from it. After everything was said and done, the children did say something, and that was the instance where we went ahead and got that 10-year term policy for them,
mm-hmm.
Insurance policy, so that if something happened to the parents within that time, the kids would get something at the end of the day. And that was enough to appease them.
Alleviate the difficult situation there.
Right, right.
Well, I mean, it sounds like you have to know a lot to put this all together, right? And you have to ask the right questions.
Absolutely.
So let's say somebody was thinking about doing a CRT. They gave you a call. What's the process like of Q&A to see if this is the right fit for them?
It's best to sit down, look at the asset that they're thinking about contributing, and going through the numbers. We can input the numbers into a program and tell them exactly what their charitable deduction is going to be, what we can expect the income stream to be, what the maximum income stream could be. So we could put all those things into the program. And it would just be explaining to them how it works, what the fees are that are involved, finding the right trustee, that sometimes is difficult, and then just, again, just going over it with them to see if it's something that they're going to be comfortable with.
And do they make this decision fairly quickly, or does it kind of take a while to establish all of these, data points?
I would say it's a process. I would say it would take 2 or 3 meetings for them, with them doing research in between before they feel really comfortable with it. Sometimes they will bring in another advisor. They'll bring in their accountant. They'll bring in their child, just to have somebody else listen to it. Because like you said at the beginning, it kind of sounds too good to be true.
Right.
There's definitely, everybody has their own criteria for what's going to, put them over the edge.
Right.
Have I had conversations with people where they've ultimately decided not to do it? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But it just wasn't the right time for them.
Right, right. And, there's an important position in all of this, and that would be the trustee of the CRT. I know you mentioned one option is the actual beneficiary could also be the trustee. How would that work, and when does that take place?
That usually means they have a relationship with that charity already.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll just reach out to the charity to start the discussion. The charities are a great source of information about charitable remainder trusts. They're probably the ones that bring it to me the most often.
Mm-hmm.
Are the charities themselves, not the client. So the charity that they are interested in benefiting can be a very good resource for them to discuss all those things. The trustee can be the charity, but it can also be the person who donates the asset to the CRT.
Okay.
They just can't do it from the beginning. So in that example of selling a property, the individual cannot be the trustee during the period that the house is being sold, the property is being sold.
Mm-hmm.
There's a particular reason for this, but just suffice it to say, during that period that the property is on the market and sold, the person cannot be the trustee. As soon as the property is sold and is reduced to cash in the CRT,
mm-hmm.
then the person who donated the property can step in and be the trustee after that.
And so if the donor was the trustee, they would have oversight over what's going on in the trust. Is it a lot of work, or?
No, it's sort of that quarterback thing, right? They don't necessarily have to be there picking stocks that the trust will invest in or the bond, but they have to hire the person that's going to make those decisions or make recommendations to them. Same thing on the tax return. That's the other requirement. Those are the only two requirements, investing and doing a tax return. So same thing. They would hire an accountant to do that for them. Yeah.
And I guess a final question would be, there's a lot of charities out there. Some of them are very big and established. Some of them are unheard of, right? Is there a particular standard or criteria for which charities can be named with the CRT?
No. So it's just any charity that has their 501c3 designation, which means they've applied for tax-exempt status with the IRS,
mm-hmm.
but it could be any size organization. And in Hawaii in particular, there are a ton of very small organizations that are very deserving,
right.
That are fulfilling all sorts of services in the community.
So there could be a need or passion out there that somebody feels very strongly about, and they could go the route of a CRT and benefit that particular charity as well as their own situation.
Absolutely.
That's wonderful. Well, it was a very complex topic that you're able to boil down into this concise period of time. However, Heather, if somebody wanted to reach out to you and find out more about charitable remainder trusts or just to find out more about estate planning in general, how can they do that?
Oh, well, it's easiest to just call my office at 808-524-8099 or to check out our website, which has a lot of these frequently asked questions about CRTs and other topics at ConahanLawGroup.com.
And sounds like you folks are still functioning at full capacity, even during this pandemic situation, so you're probably doing, video calls, regular phone calls.
A lot of telephone and video calls, for sure.
Well, that's great. Well, we've been speaking with Heather Conahan of the Conahan Law Group, talking about charitable remainder trusts, and we've learned a lot today. So thank you so much, Heather, for sharing and for being on our show.
Oh, thank you.
Coming up next, we have our Kupuna Wiki Classic Trivia.
We'll be back with more Kupuna Wiki right after this.
Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors assists clients in buying and selling their homes by striving to create an easy and seamless transition. With multiple awards spanning most transactions of the year, Client Service Award, and being in the top 100 realtors, Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors wants to provide you with excellent service and care when making a major life decision. Over the years, their agents have greatly enjoyed serving each and every one of their clients as if they were family. Whether you're a first-time homeowner or a senior, they understand the challenges and complexities of the real estate process and want to help you every step of the way. Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors wants to provide you with the most information so you can make the best decision. Because as they like to say, real estate is about choice. Contact Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors today for a free in-person property valuation by calling 753-9033 or email them clientservice@choicehi.com.
Have you ever been worried leaving your loved one alone? Whether it be illness, a fall, or just personal safety, the Electronic Caregiver Mobile Medical Alert System with GPS technology will give you that peace of mind. With the simple press of a button, an on-call staff member will be able to locate you and provide expedited help by alerting family or emergency medical services. To learn more about the Electronic Caregiver, call Priscilla Wong at 954-0820 and mention Kupuna Wiki to receive a free gift.
Welcome back to Kupuna Wiki on AM 690, The Answer.
Thank you to all of the participants who called in to last week's trivia question. And last week's Kupuna Wiki trivia question was, what is Mililani's New Year's tradition to ring in the new year that is similar to New York's ball drop? The tradition is called the pineapple drop. And now this week's Kupuna Wiki trivia question is sponsored by Conahan Law Group and brought to you by Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors.
Located on the windward side of Oahu, this ranch is a private nature reserve and cattle ranch that was featured in classics like Jurassic Park. What is the name of this local ranch?
For a chance to win a Long's gift card, be the first person to call us with the correct answer at 808-792-5188. And we hope everyone is staying safe during this time. And remember, if you want to hear past episodes of the Kupuna Wiki radio show or meet all of our great vendors, please go to kupunawiki.com or call us at 808-792-5188.
Again, we'd like to thank this segment sponsor, Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors, providing you with the best real estate information so you can make the most informed decisions. As they like to say, real estate is about choice. To contact them, call 808-753-9033.
Well, thanks for joining us today on the Kupuna Wiki Radio Show, Hawaii's senior resource. We strive to make sure our seniors are informed and supported every step of the way. Again, I'm Brandon.
And I'm Andrew.
I will see you back next time on the Kupuna Wiki Radio Show.
You've been listening to the Kupuna Wiki radio program. If you'd like more information about today's topics, please call us at 792-5188. That's 792-5188. Or visit us online at kupunawiki.com. Until next time, aloha.
The preceding program was sponsored by Kupuna Wiki, Hawaii's senior resource.